Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Up Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kalula. We're gonna jump right into this interview. I'm excited. Miss Joy to the World Grayson. Joy Grayson, you're in the studio tonight. Say hello.
Hello, Nikki.
Our studio audience loves you already.
Oh, hi.
All right, we're gonna silence them right now.
You chopped them.
I just had to cut them in half right there. Totally. How have you been?
I'm so good. I'm so happy to be here. You can take that reverb off.
I know. I was just thinking, let's see if I'm doing it right. Let me see if I can turn it off. Hold on a second.
Hello. There it is.
All right. So how have you been? Happy holidays.
Man, I've been good.
You've been good?
I've been, you know, growing.
As we all should be growing.
Growing pains, right? But that's part of it. And that's
growing pains? What are the pains?
Well, the pains are just pushing open, right?
Yeah.
And going to that next level, and all of a sudden you're like bigger
than you were before. This is bigger. Yes.
There's more attention on you. There's more responsibility that you have for other people.
I always feel like it's like this consistency. It's like practicing consistency is everything. Yeah. So I feel like sometimes when it's like when I'm writing or singing or playing, it's like just practicing being that consistent every time I'm at the plate to do whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
I think that's like what it is, but it's exactly what you said. It's like it takes you to new levels.
Yeah, just learning to sit in the center of that balance. No matter what you're doing, you're going to open that center to everything.
Yeah.
When you're, you know, it's like every religion boils down to that
center. You're a very spiritual person. You're one of the most like you're like a fountain of positive energy and just kind of like sweetness for the soul kind of vibes.
Sweet and soul.
How did you get to that place? Let's talk about that before we start talking about the music.
Okay. There's so much transformation going on. It's kind of gotten exponential lately. In my bio, I said, I started, before I could talk, I was singing. So music was my first language. And it got me wide open in terms of other people receiving me in a very loving way. And I became very fluid and fluent emotionally because I could communicate in a medium that was more than just the spoken word. It was music, you know, it was. So what happened was, because it was so successful to be communicating on that level so young, I consider that to be like my first language.
Where did you grow up?
In New York.
Ah, you're a New Yorker.
I'm a New Yorker.
Were you like in the city?
No, it was in Long Island.
Oh, Long Island. That's so weird. I just had somebody 2 weeks ago that was from Long Island.
Really?
I love Long Island.
Yeah. It's got
it's like
so
its
much.
Own state.
It's got
a lot
so
of people
much.
Feel like, oh, it's just like New York. It's not. It's got its own vibe.
You've got New York right there, but you've got a complete, like, just, it's so lush.
It's like suburbia. It's a little bit like, totally. You know, it's nice because it's a lot of people go there to raise their families and
exactly.
have like more of a wholesome family
exactly.
upbringing, right?
Yep. So anyway, so the music thing kind of just opened me to being very, very, sensitive to everything because the music was like the first thing I used to express myself, you know. So music and singing from the time I was 3 and a half, I was
harmonizing in three-part harmony with my dad and playing three different instruments by ear, which I don't know how to play anymore to a
one. You gotta start now.
No, I know.
You gotta catch
up. I know, but it was like, so it just like opened my senses up in a different way. And it put me in touch with this feeling that I would get when I was singing that wasn't like anything else. It was so intimate and so exposed, but yet so powerful. And I learned how to sing from that place. So like whenever I would sing, no matter who was there, they would cry because I could go so deep, right? Yeah. And like, so I got to a point where I had a kid and I wanted to figure out how to hustle and survive. And I I was 30 when I had her.
Wow.
So
still on the East Coast? Or are you here?
No, I've been here 30 years now.
Okay, so you're like,
I can't tell you how old she is now because we can't have that math alive in
right.
L.A.
No problem. When did you leave Long Island?
I left New York in 89.
And you were just like, I'm ready to go to the West Coast. I'm tired of the snow. I can't deal with this. I'm ready for warm weather.
I like the art vibe in L.A. better than New York.
Wow.
I like the freedom of it.
You hear that, New Yorkers? I like that. Say it one more time. I like it.
It's less regimented here. It's more free flow, which is is more intuitive to me. You know,
I find New York to be super competitive too.
Yeah,
it's like very cutthroat.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
And it's like almost like to the point where I remember going like to Juilliard and NYU and just like roaming around the practice rooms and you hear people practicing for like 20 hours, 12 hours. It's just, I mean, who's gonna maintain that? It's just ridiculous.
I know, unless they're there because they just love it. And they can't get
there's
enough.
There's never that much time that somebody should devote to anything without other things suffering. You know what I mean?
Goes back to the balance.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Unless you're doing it because you're competing with someone else and then it's not organic.
Were your parents or your family musically inclined?
Right. Oh, were mine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they play or what do they sing?
My dad was, he was a you know, he wasn't a professional singer, but he taught me how to play all those instruments. He was just made of music.
That's
his
awesome.
Soul was just so sweet. And so we were best friends from the moment he was born.
Oh,
I was
amazing.
Born and and my mom was a visual artist. She's a really well-known interior designer now in Long Island. And
so they recognized the musical talent.
Yeah.
Right away.
I was singing in my car seat before I could talk.
And did you take classes? Did you take lessons?
You know, I started taking lessons at 7 and he really messed up my voice.
Really?
Am I allowed to say bad words in here?
You can say bad words.
Okay.
You can say
he
shit.
He fucked and my voice up.
Wow.
And, he kind of took.
You can't say the F word actually. I'm
okay.
Just kidding.
I take it back. Okay. Yeah. For those of you who know, like what the singing your chest voice versus your head voice. I was belting and I had this great chest voice. I literally, like, at age 4 was studying Cher and her, how she made her sounds. So I had this, like, big, ballsy voice as a little kid. And he, like, wanted me to try to sing in my head register. And so he kind of disabled somehow my ability to get back to that placement. And so I kind of spent the rest of, like, when I had Sky, I decided, you know, I want to pass on what I know while I'm raising my kid on the side while I'm hustling my music career. And it wound up becoming an art of its own. Like, I wound up discovering so much about the human social how it stops you from sharing your intimacy, from sharing your spirit because of things that I was going through. I was, like, writing. I'd go in the woods and I'd write and I'd write and I'd write. And I got to know myself and I got to love myself in a different way. And I got to understand the mechanics of why are people so afraid to just stand up on stage and sing in front of a few people? Like, why would they rather get a root canal than do that? Like,
well, it's like unnerving for people to do that.
Yeah, but what I did was I discovered why.
Right.
And so it became like a passion to like understand and apply what I was discovering about the things that hold us back from my own art. And then I give it to my students. And so I spent a lot of time over the last 10 years creating this body of work that has helped a lot of other people, and I wanted to help as many people as possible.
It seems like you've always had that like spirit about you.
But what
like
I'm saying is,
in touch with that for a long time.
But now I know how to explain how to get there to other people. So now that I finally figured out how to do that, now I'm going back to my music finally Because I put that on the back burner.
When did you know you wanted to put that on the back burner?
I never wanted to put it on the back burner. It's just what wound up happening because I got caught up in building my studio of my artists and helping other singers and helping them with their careers and hustling to, it's expensive to live in LA. I
mean, yeah.
You know, and so I didn't make enough time to be in the studio recording my stuff and pursuing that and touring and performing because it was always about getting my studio running, getting my students doing better. So it's finally come full circle. And like tonight
you and I are like inverses of each other because I did the opposite. I was like out there playing gigs and rehearsing and
now you're
recording.
Ready
and like I came to teaching late. And it's like I found that there was something missing until I started teaching. It was like,
I feel like
it's like you're serving. You're serving a greater purpose when you teach, you know?
Yes. But this show tonight kind of marks like the moment that I'm stepping back into the arena officially to start like not just the music but the whole body of work. I'm writing a book about what I've discovered.
I saw that in your bio.
Yeah, it's about how we, you know, how much money is spent on physical fitness every year in this country, right?
Tons.
I don't even know that number. I need to look at it because when it comes to the mental muscle of how to keep your mind in a place where you get access to the infinite potential is more important than anything you could ever do on this planet. Because with that, you have the strength to do anything and create anything. And you don't have to be a victim. You can always take back your power. And it's been so disabled for so long. And I've kind of discovered a way to reverse engineer that. Mm. And the template of being a performer on stage and singing is the perfect microscope slide. So my students, they get to like understand how to not hold themselves back from that.
The fear. Eliminating the fear and getting to that love.
Yeah, but allowing themselves to be who they are.
But you obviously, like you said, you were 7 years old taking voice lessons. You were learning Cher.
Right.
Were you starting to get into musical theater? Were you starting
all that?
You were doing music. Were you doing classical stuff too?
No.
So you were like, I'm not doing classical.
I mean, I studied a few. I did a few arias, you know, and worked
and
on.
This is not for me.
It was just not my aesthetic, you know.
Did you do jazz?
Yeah. Actually, I used to try to sing along with Charlie Parker solos
he's my favorite,
just to see if I could even get into his musical mind and so anyway everything comes back around to music at the end of the day. Like we're fucking made of music is what I think.
Yeah.
Our heartbeat has a musical cascade.
Yeah.
Not just a beat but a music. And do you know what the Fibonacci series is, the golden ratio? You know, in the center of every, like, a seashell, the proportion, it's a ratio. And everything in life, the galaxy, an embryo, the way that a tree or a plant grows, the ratio between the leaves for perfect light sharing is called the golden mean, the golden ratio, the Fibonacci series. It's fascinating.
Sounds awesome.
Michelangelo, all of his paintings, is it the Vitruvian Man? I forget the name. Where his arms are out and his legs are spread and it's like the perfect proportion. All those ratios
that's
in nature.
Da Vinci.
Da Vinci. It shows up everywhere in nature and it's at the center of like sacred geometry. And
that's crazy.
It has to do with the laws of physics. But in between the heartbeats, when you're in a state of emotional bliss, you get that same ratio. Seriously.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been so like...
Oh, it makes sense. It totally makes sense.
It totally makes sense. So I feel like we're made of music. It's trying to get out of us. And it's trying to get out in so many different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And so by learning what I learned, I am helping so many people break through that invisible wall of the mind where, you know, it's not just mental health is not mental sickness.
Right.
When people say mental health, they think about, I have to go because I have a problem with my mental health. But mental health is learning how to stay in the center of balance and letting yourself decide how to look at something and how to relate to something and look at the miracles that are happening instead of what's missing. And you start to train your brain, you start to train your mind, and all of a sudden your heart starts to beat. in the golden ratio. Because
but you must have, did you come to this because you had a teacher that was bad?
No.
You just were like exploring this within yourself.
A teacher that was bad?
Yeah, you what said you had a teacher that was pushing your voice.
Oh, no, just that one guy when I was seven. He just...
But that must have been like a traumatic thing a little bit on some level because...
It made me have to figure it out for myself. And I spent my whole life figuring out, like I've figured out now how to avoid the break in your voice between the head and the chest register. Yeah. Like how to go right through it.
In the male voice, they call it the passage.
Well, they call that in the female. The little pathway between. Right. And, you know, the point is... I figured it out myself, and everything that I teach and everything that I want to share is like, I really believe that we all have that capacity inside us to know everything we want to know.
Yeah.
If we start trusting ourselves, you know, so now I want to come with the music.
Did you perform a lot in Long Island when you were coming up, like as a high school kid?
Yeah. New York City, all over New England.
Did you move to the city ever?
Yeah, I did. Right until 89, until I got here. So I spent a few years there. And
did you audition for shows or?
I did not.
I've never done that hustle. I've only gone there for like
just a lot of cabaret type things.
Yeah.
And you know, open mics and sitting in and jamming with people that were just doing their thing.
There's so much talent in that city.
Yeah,
that's one thing I'm just like in awe of.
Totally,
it's like crazy.
Totally.
So you were in high school and then you graduated and then you moved to the city?
Yep. And then I came out here. I just felt free. I was visiting and I felt really free here.
Where did you visit when you came out here?
Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. And I met a whole bunch of people and a lot of artists. And
that was a good time in the music industry.
Yeah.
Early 90s.
Yeah.
It's like a great time in the music industry.
And we were all just trying to find our voice and we were just helping each other, and it was a beautiful thing to come to. I felt like LA was much more forgiving in terms of letting you be who you were, and you didn't have to try to act like you're supposed to act, you know.
Well, I feel like a lot of it is geography. Like in New York, everything is so constricted.
Yeah.
So it's like it's forcing you to, you have to grow in this small space.
Yeah.
And LA is the exact opposite. It's like, take your time.
And then weather.
Grow when you can.
Right.
Here, enjoy the things that are not right in the art form. You know
right
what I mean?
Well, so, look at that. You see, when you're contracted, you have less space to be in a state of love. And when you're more spread out and open, that's the whole center of what I teach in my philosophy, is that we're like the sun, and it's just the radiance outwards is what opens.
Where did you live when you first came to LA? Do you remember?
I stayed with some friends on what's that street off of Franklin, that famous street?
Hollywood? Like the main streets?
Off Franklin Avenue, and it's like it goes up to the mountains, I forget. But anyway, it was like near Gower in that vicinity. Yeah.
That's right where I am now.
Okay.
I love that area.
Yeah.
A lot of art in those little pockets.
I know, a lot of really cool architecture, just so much beauty. The bougainvillea and the jasmine. Anyway,
and did you start a band? Did you do any of that?
Like, God, yeah, I got involved
or were
you
just
in a
lot. Focused on teaching right then.
No. Teaching was like later down the road when I had to get real, and I had a child and a life that I had to pay for. You know, and I didn't want to go work for someone else, even though I tried a bunch of different things. You know, I just wanted to stay in my lane and, like, really, if I couldn't, like, be the artist doing what I want to do right then I can at least be doing music and applying what I know.
You must have, I have no doubt you met a lot of greasy industry people at that time because they were out in abundance at all the clubs. Like, I've just heard crazy stories in that time period that everybody was looking for the next big thing, and it was just
and it was Britney Spears
wannabes. Yes.
Totally. You know?
Yeah.
It was a rough time to be coming up, you know.
Because I bet you were like loving the Joni Mitchells and the, you know, the real song.
No, I was looking to create my own niche, you know, that was somewhere in between. It was like it wasn't the kind of soul that you think of when you think of soul. It was kind of like just what I do now. It's kind of like what I think of when I think of Sting as a solo artist.
Yeah.
You know, it's jazz, it's soul, it's raw, it's just so textured, it's so magnificent, it's so literate, it's so metaphoric, you know, like that's the kind of niche I was trying to create, but it was Britney Spears was doing her thing in the, you know, in the school hallway, and Sheryl Crow was coming up at that time, and you know, so it was, I don't remember all the specifics of it, but what I do know is that I'm ready to do what I'm here to do in all of the spectrum of it, not one or the other, but right. all of it, and it's all going to filter through my music. And it's crazy because one of the songs I brought today that I wanted to talk to you about is a song I wrote in 1998 after two hate crimes happened, and I was a new mother, and I don't know if you probably remember Matthew Shepard mm-hmm. and James Byrd Jr. in the same year were both Matthew Shepard for yeah. being gay and right. James Byrd Jr. for being black, and they were killed in a brutal way. Both of each of them.
I don't remember how they were killed.
Do you want me to talk about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, go for it. You
really?
Can. Yeah.
Matthew Shepard was beaten, tied to a post in Wyoming and beaten and left for dead, and he died.
So sad.
And James Burt Jr. was dragged by his neck from a chain from the back of a truck until his head came off.
Jesus. You know, I always think Texas. About, I feel like there are two types of people in the world. Those that create and those that destroy. And one of the things that I constantly think about, this is like I have a daily thought every day about this. I'm like, I don't understand the people that choose to destroy. Like, you have to have no sense of life spirit in you to just allow that energy to take over. Whether it's school shooting, whether it's murder, whether it's beating somebody down, whether it's thinking in a violent way at all.
Yeah.
And then there's creators where it's like, those are the people I just love being around the most because... They're trying to create something out of
right,
nothing.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I love that you created something in honor of something that
you.
Was so crazy.
So I wrote this song and I recorded it back then, and it's very orchestrated.
Read the lyrics.
And I want to tell you about it though, because what I'm getting ready to do is to re-record this and finally release it, because everything that it said then is even more true now. So I'm going to do a completely stripped down version, probably just strings, guitar, cello, some like just maybe a cajon, just I'm imagining it just raw. So I want to tell you the lyric and then let you hear the old version.
Yeah,
and then
let's
you'll
do
have
it.
To stay tuned for the new one. It's called Greater Than the Sun. Ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Billy and Grace in the playground on brand. Building a castle in friendship and sand. They were too little to understand the difference in color in their tiny hands. I watched the sun kiss their heads through the trees, watched as their halos blew off in the breeze. They were too young and alive to see soon they'd be catching the grown-up's disease. Are you greater than the sun that's shining down on everyone? Black, yellow, brown, or red, or white? Don't we all deserve the light? Through the eyes of a child, all you would see is a smile. Let's go back to those sweet days before we learned our parents' ways. Matthew and James found in two different states how simply their lives could be taken away. Seems like an awfully big price that they paid for somebody else's malignant campaign. I watched the news tell of what had been done, watched as their parents buried their sons, thought of the men they would never become. Does this forward some cause in the name of someone? Are you greater than the sun that's shining down on everyone? How can you judge who's wrong or right? Don't we all deserve the light? If you look down from up above, could you decide who to love? Breaking through the clouds of hate, the sun does not discriminate. Whose agenda are we marching to? Who stands to gain? Who stands to lose? Who benefits by tearing apart the brothers and the sisters of this human race? As I watch the sun sinking into the sea, I fight through my tears as the colors all bleed, and I find myself rising up off my knees. Can we go back to our innocence, please? Are you greater than the sun that's shining down on everyone? Black, yellow, brown, or red, or white? Don't we all deserve the light? If you look down from up above, could you decide who to love? Let's break through the clouds of hate. I hope it's not too late.
I'm going to play it right now. This is Joy Grayson, Greater Than the Sun.
in the playground on brand, building a castle in friendship and sand. They were too little to understand the difference in color in their tiny hands. I watched the sun kiss their heads through the trees, watched as their halos blew off in the breeze. They were too young and alive to see. Soon they'd be catching the grown-up's disease. Are you greater than the sun that's shining down on everyone? Black, yellow, brown, or red, or white? Don't we all deserve the light through the eyes of a child? Or you would tease a smile? Let's go back to those sweet days before we learned our parents' ways. Matthew and James found in two different states how simply their lives could be taken away. Seems like an awfully big price that they paid for somebody else's malignant campaign. I watched the news tell of what had been done, watched as their parents buried their sons, thought of the men they would never become. Does this forward some cause in the name of someone? Are you greater than the sun that's shining down on everyone? How can you judge who's wrong or right? Don't we all deserve the light? If you look down from up above, could you decide who to love? Breaking through the clouds of hate, the sun does not discriminate. Whose agenda are we marching to? Who stands to gain, who stands to lose? Who benefits by tearing apart the brothers and the sisters of this human race? As I watch the sun sinking into the sea, I fight through my tears as the colors all bleed, and I find myself rising up off my knees. Can we go back to our innocence, please? Are you greater than the sun that's shining down on everyone? Black, yellow, brown, or red, or white? Don't we all deserve the light? Look down from up above. Could you decide who to love? Let's break through.
Very nice. I like the heartbeats, the intro-outro heartbeats.
Intro-outro heartbeats. You know, my daughter's three-year-old laugh was in the beginning of the intro, too.
Oh, that's cute. That's very Stevie Wonder of you.
Is it?
Yeah, he used to have that on, he still has it on, what is that song? Sunshine on My Life. Yeah, that's his daughter bathing and laughing and giggling. So cute. I was always like, of course Stevie Wonder would put something so genius and something so cute, and it's like this huge hit song, you know? It's like, who would do that now? Nobody does that now.
I do it.
Really?
I did it. Well, you just heard it.
But I'm saying, no pop stars are doing that. Andy Grammer did something really cool. Do you know who Andy Grammer is? So his mother passed, and he wrote a song about his mother, and she loved Paul Simon, Graceland. So he did the song with Ladies from Black Mambazo, and he had this huge picture of her. And at the very end, you hear his daughter say, "Grandma Kathy." And he's like, "Grandma Kathy." And he's like, "Yeah." And you just have this little tidbit of emotion from that kid and him in this 3-second little. I'm like, I love artists that do stuff like that. Because it like lets you peek into their soul.
That's right. That's all it is. To me, that's all it is now. That's why I want to strip it all the way down. And I just want it to be, you know, story.
Yeah. Just, that's everything.
Yeah. Just tell the truth musically as honestly as you can, vocally as honestly as you can.
I know that you go to jam sessions, or if you don't, if you ever have, you've probably seen a lot of singers. You're like, I could sing circles around this person. I just see it in your eyes. I'm like, I know.
I don't think of it that way, though.
You have a huge voice. You have a huge voice, and you're not afraid to use it. And that's what I love. Because a lot of singers, like, sometimes they're afraid to use the gift. And my favorite singers are just like, here I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're one of those here I am singers.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like either the industry or the vibe in LA or New York was not giving you that voice to kind of find your place to just throw down? Because you could throw down at any.
I could.
You really could.
I didn't know how to figure out the marketing. I didn't know how to figure out and also now people don't realize, you know, you're in the gates. Like right. you can figure it out. You can crack the code and you can get your content out there. You know, you can record it yourself. Like you couldn't even get in an office to have a meeting, you know, to think about getting placement on a radio station. Like you had to move mountains just to get in the gate. Right now there is no gate.
Right.
There is no gate. But
such an exciting time.
It's still crazy. Like you have to become as much of an artist in your understanding of the puzzle of how do I make this available? How do I, if I believe in this enough, then I have to position with things that other people are going to want to, they're going to need and they're going to want. This has to relate to something that everyone's going through. This has to be so tangible that it's not just about the sound you're making, but it's like everyone feels it as soon as they hear it.
And well, it's also like trying to like corner that market or like trying to get that, you know, promotion to people so that they tap into the music.
Right. Know? Just how do I get them to see it? Because once they hear it, especially if it's associated with a film or something visual, a great music video or something relevant that means something to them, all of a sudden you're in their line of sight. And if they hear it and they're really there with it, they're going to fall in love with it.
You mentioned Sting and Cher being...
Cher, good. I mean, I was just obsessed
She's with awesome.
She is
I
awesome.
I just watched a documentary on her.
She is. So and awesome. I remember watching the Sonny and Cher show and I was like obsessed with Chastity when she was a baby.
That's cute.
And I like had this whole little fantasy about being friends with Chastity and Cher would be so cool to know. And then I started like imitating. I used to imitate everyone. Diana Ross, Barbara Streisand, the entire Sound of Music soundtrack when I was like 3 years old. Like every song.
That's crazy.
Carole King, Karen Carpenter, James Taylor, shaped, Aretha Franklin.
You know, that culture completely.
And they shaped, like, I would sit on my knees with these big-ass speakers in front of my face for hours, 3 hours a day, just imitating all my favorite, getting into what they're doing, how they're making that sound, how they're letting all that emotion out, so that I could think of Aretha Franklin and be in her placement. I could think of Streisand, be in her placement. Wow. I didn't know how I was doing it. But then my voice started to emerge as a composite of all of the freedom that I had created.
Right.
I didn't have to sound like them, but I knew how to get in the nooks and crannies of my voice like they did. Because I played with what they were doing.
You're like understanding the ingredients.
I felt it, right? Yeah. It was coming through me. And I could be like, oh, I feel her. I feel it in my belly right here. And I feel it in my nose right here. And, you know, you just know how to imitate the sounds. And then all of a sudden you're doing it better and better and better. And it's like learning how to surf. You're just like on that wave. And you're in the middle of it. And it's just exhilarating, you know? So I never... It was such sacred ground to me and hallowed ground to me, singing and music, that I would rather be in obscurity like I am right now in terms of as a musical artist than become a commercial artist. And I was always adamant about that. And I always butted heads with my mom, who was like, why don't you just
And you're like, I don't
get in the game. Yeah. And I didn't, because it wasn't just songs. It was my sacred place.
Well, a lot of the people that are super famous, they lose that simple thing of life that is what we take for granted in a lot of ways. You know, it's like being able to have a normal life, have a normal going to a grocery store,
right,
without people mobbing you. It's like these little things
that you don't realize until you're in the fishbowl.
I have a couple friends that have been on this show that they play with huge, huge artists. I won't mention them now, but they tell me they're like, yeah, when you see what these people go through on the daily, and they're like great friends with these people because they've been in the bands.
You don't realize what you're trading. How do you even know anybody's intentions when you're that powerful? You can't.
Especially with social media and phones and
cell everything. Oh, man.
It's cameras, everything. It's like you can't, at least in the 70s and the 60s, Jimi Hendrix could get away with certain things. Prince could get away with certain things. But now, everything. I mean, Justin Timberlake was just at a club holding hands with a girl, and it's all over the media.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, and the drones are getting smaller. Pretty soon they'll look like mosquitoes.
Yes.
It's crazy. But you know what? That's why you get to the heart of it. The music is the truth of it. And I think what I teach myself and my students is, if you can get to the heart of who you are and learn how to speak that simply through your music, you have a gold mine. And if you can own that instead of trying to compare that to who you think you're supposed to sound like or who you think the market wants, like you're selling an empty product because it doesn't have the liquid, gooey center. You know? It doesn't have that. The heart and the spirit of the person is all we ever really want from artists at the end of the day. And when they, I feel like when artists surrender to their true spirit and their true nature and what really makes their heart explode, the mastery that follows that is inevitable because they just surrender.
Give me chills.
Right? You just have, it's just like the laws of, it's quantum physics. Yeah. Like, and check this out, dude. Like, based on these things that I've been discovering just by trial and error and mental exploration and writing, I started seeing quantum physics shit. Like, I'd start to see it I'd start to understand certain phenomenon. And then I'd go online and I'd start finding out I'd start finding out things that I'd already discovered about math, about science, about physics, about chemistry. And I sucked in all those things in school.
Because, but they're all part of the arts.
But they're coming through.
Yeah.
Into my field of like
that was her hand, not her head.
Sorry, that was that was the fingernail of doom.
Yeah, God damn it!
You needed
one of those with that.
But sound. So I've been meeting with science. Like I met with an astrophysicist because I want him to help me piece together how everything I'm discovering and experiencing and seeing is actually quantum phenomena. And
For sure,
I want to tie them together. My book is going to contain scientific evidence of what I've been discovering philosophically and in practice with watching my artists' lives blossom outwards, watching their whole music change from being just tiny and reserved and held back to just like
freeing yourself,
wide open. Right.
I feel like there's things that I've experienced in music that cannot be explained by science, and it's like, there is,
except on a quantum
line. Yeah, there's this fine line with the quantum physics of it, but that's what keeps me in it.
Break this down and make it really simple, you're gonna be one of the first people I throw it to, because you know, like, have you ever seen one of those plates that if you put sand on it and then you have the music coming through it, how it creates the sacred geometric designs over and over again? Or like that thing that I sent to Kat, to you, Kat, my little cat, meow. Come on.
She's like, not now.
I have two of my angels, two of my assistants with me, Cat Ivy.
Yeah.
At Cat Ivy Music.
Yeah.
And Ashna.
Yeah.
Go ask Ashna.
Is that your website for real?
My Instagram.
I love that.
Yeah.
People are listening going, there are two other people there? Quiet as mice.
They're in the private mice. Well, she's a cat.
That's right.
So, I don't know what that means. Anyway, So I will pass that on to you. Like, there's so much that correlates back and forth, and it's smaller than physics. It's like, that's why it's quantum. It's in the metaphysical realm, because somewhere in between spirit and physical reality is where life is.
But you know, it's so amazing that you're saying all these things, because in the last, even within the last 24 hours, it's like, I always come to this conclusion that music is the only thing that makes sense to me. People don't make sense to me. Politics doesn't make sense to me. Religion doesn't make sense to me. A lot of the factual sciences do, and maths, like there are, is.
But that's just codes.
Right.
But I can answer this.
But music, though, is the perfect symmetry and balance between science, math, art, and beauty. It's like all these ethereal things combined with measurements, you know, yes. Like everything's broken down to, you know, a finite amount of space, but there's some things that cannot be explained. You can have four people singing the same note.
Right.
Those four notes are all completely different and no one can explain.
I can explain it.
Why?
Okay. What's the word I always use, girls? What do we always go back
to? Pop quiz.
What do I tell you to do? Like, the only job in life is to what?
Love? Yeah.
Harmonize.
Dang.
Harmonize. He was ready. You have a dang, yeah, cat. It's, you know, politics, people, all those other things that you mentioned, religion, are based on discord. They're not, it's not truth.
Right.
It's aspects of truth that are bastardized. And so the harmonic is not just a radiant spread of harmony. Like, right. Everything that emanates out from the center should, in the perfect balance, be in perfect harmony with itself. Like, if you think of the sun radiating outwards in every direction, spherically, all of that radiation should be in perfect symmetrical harmony with itself in a perfect world, right? If somebody throws some weird wave into that and scrambles that harmonic radiant field out that's going outwards, it's suddenly no longer harmonic. There's discord, there's scrambled, there's interference, there's static that happens, because that harmonic field is no longer just parallel, you know, things just harmonizing with each other. So the art of performance, which is the class I teach at the Songwriting School of Los Angeles,
That's where we met,
the art of performance is in learning how to harmonize in the center of yourself with everything in your life, because then that is music, and then you're not having discord. Like, with religion, it's changed and altered to control people. So there are aspects of it that are not harmonic.
Right.
With politics, there's agenda. Yeah. With, you know, it's like when there's agenda, it's skewed in one direction or another. It's a, you know, but when it's just pure truth, it just harmonizes. And so you know that if music is the only thing that makes sense to you, that's because I go back to what I said, which is like, we're made of music because we're made of harmony.
Well, since you're blurring the edges of harmony,
that's my life.
Why don't we play Blurring the Edges right now?
Well, I'm going to sing that one.
Okay, that's the last one. Then what's the other one?
This Wildflower Garden.
Oh, this, you know, you told me that. All right, we're
and you
play
know what? I got the Joy title Grayson. Of it. I wrote this from a roll of paper towels. It says, This Wildflower Garden, and it just sparked this whole song.
Here it is, This Wildflower Garden.
This one. flower gardens. You know that my thirst for you is pure. Let me kiss away your tears. I know I've caused you pain, but I can show you colors that you've never seen before. Don't you know the passion flower's stronger from the rain? I will be here. Wildflower garden. Maybe you don't know this, but when you sleep on a bed of roses, the stained sheets are red, isn't it sweet? Nature always has the upper hand. Sometimes Mr. Bumblebee just can't get enough. So if you want to spread your wings and be my honey man, fly on over, baby, and get yourself some sticky stuff.
Silence the crowd. Silence! Silence the studio audience. So that had like a very like Natalie and Brulia 90s kind of vibe.
Yeah.
You must have loved that. You must have loved those sounds back then. Because I love those sounds. When I hear tracks like that, nobody's doing music like that now. It's like it's now starting to come back.
Yeah, but those are old tracks. I'm getting ready.
No, but I love them. I love that sound.
Yeah.
Because when I fell in love with music, that stuff was in the pop market.
You know, well, that's, I mean, a song, so that if I reproduce that now to current standards, that song's going to stand. That's a.
But I kind of like that it's not.
It's that crunchy, it's, yeah.
Because it, everything is cyclical. So, like, all the 90s stuff, they're bringing Cross Colors. There's a Cross Colors museum. You remember that clothing? Like, in the 90s? You don't remember it at all? Oh, my God.
I know.
It was huge in L.A. In the 90s, it was huge.
Okay.
It was like, you know, every African American TV show, like Martin, all those shows, they Living Color, they all had Cross Colors. And they're making a museum because the Bruno Mars video with Cardi B, they were wearing Cross Colors in the video.
Wow. Okay, you know, I would love to release that song just as it is.
All that stuff is coming back.
I love that. I love how we produced it. It was so much fun. There's so many moments in there that crack me up when I hear them, because it was very tongue-in-cheek when we were recording it, because it's a metaphor about being a wildflower garden, you know, and all.
From a paper towel.
Yeah, I got that idea from,
I love
a
it,
roll of paper towels.
Well, we got time for one more track. You want to do Blurring the Edges live?
Yeah.
All right. This okay. is Joy Grayson live, Blurring the Edges.
Hey, hey, hey.
whatever picture I paint or what conclusions I draw, they're only lines in the sand blown away once more. Each grain a diamond roar set in the desert floor, casting mirages in the sun we find. We are one. Oh, history's lessons show what we're supposed to know is not always the way the story goes. In the forbidden love and black descendants of our Mr. Thomas Jefferson, we are one, blurring the edges, searching to find why we're so frightened out of our minds. I see we're different, can't see the crime. I sit instead just in the edges. Hey, what seems so black and white, held in the purest light, becomes a spectrum of divine insight. The wrong becomes the right, hell slides to heaven's light. Single moments of compassion we find. We are one, blurring the edges, searching to find why we're so frightened out of our minds. Are we so different on the inside? Are we instead just blurring the edges? 1 million lifetimes pass before me, different places, same old story. Where is simple human kindness? Shouldn't be so hard to find this endless paradise you brought me in the lessons that you taught me. How am I to share this place in my heart so full of your grace? Blurring the edges, desperate to climb out of our bodies, out of our minds. Are we so different? Are we so blind? Are we instead just blurring the edges? Whatever picture I paint or what conclusions I draw, they're only lines in the sand blown away once more. And may the tears that flow help make the garden grow out of the desert it's become until we are one. Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. All right, real quick. Joy, where can people find you if they want to find you online? List all your handles.
Okay, Free Your Voice with Joy on Instagram. And Joy Grayson, at Joy Grayson
spell
on Instagram.
Spell it out, because people are dumb.
JoyGrayson, not an O-N. And that's on Facebook, that's on Instagram. JoyGrayson.com is my new website.
Yeah.
Shout out to Ashna, Vishnani, Cat Very Ivy, nice. And Jackson, at Jackson, at Get Jackson. He designed the website with me and took all the photographs. And hit me up.
Joy.
Please hit me up. I want to talk to all of you. Anyone that wants to be an artist, come talk to me.
Joy to the world.
I love you, Nikki. You're the best.
You too,
You're the best.
You're the bomb.
Thank you.
Happy holidays, everybody. We'll see you guys here next week.